Sometimes, a story starts right underneath your nose. A couple of our producers were hoisting a glass at an Irish pub around the corner from NPR here in Washington when they heard, well, it couldn't be angels, though it surely sounded like it. Voices as delicate, fine, and sweet as water. They turned out to belong to the National Folk Theatre of Ireland. It's called Seamsetira. And entranced, we asked them to walk over to our studios and please sing just for us. And for you.
Alluan drawling and drawling a hanan lum. Alluan drawling mustoring is farallum. Alluan drawling and drawling a hanan lum. Is barallum mustoring so voring a wallium.
Seamsetira means merriment in the homeland in Irish, and it began in the 1960s in Tralee in the west of Ireland when a group of people sang together in church in the choir. Before they knew it, they were so popular they'd formed a group dedicated to preserving Irish language and culture for Irish audiences. When we found them, they were taking a break between performances at Ford's Theatre in Washington. They brought along a tape of their stage show. On stage, they dance most of these pieces. Sean Ahern is the principal singer. His brother Patrick, a priest, founded the group. Sean spent his life as a dairy farmer. In country places, old traditions are the strongest, and one of the most enduring, says Ahern, is Wren Day, the day after Christmas. One of Seamsetira's songs is dedicated to the Day of the Wren, as Sean Ahern explains.
Boys and girls would dress up in improvised costumes and go from house to house, singing and dancing, and collecting money to bury the wren.
I never understood that part about burying the wren. Sometimes the wren boys, as they were also called, would wear feathers or something, right?
Yes, anything that would disguise them. And they took in their hands a little holly bush and a little wren inside in the holly bush. And the idea was to collect money to have a party over this wren before they would put it into the ground.
That's a lovely story, and I'm sure the wren is a critical part of it. And this is actually an ancient and authentic tradition.
It is, yes. They also had a white horse that they had took around with them. If they couldn't get a white horse, they improvised a white horse, which you will see in the show. Okay.
I want to see how a white horse is improvised.
You will see it.
Would you, since I can't see that right now, would you mind giving us another song?
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
absolutely gorgeous. Thank you so very much. Oliver Hurley, you're the dance master of this company.
That's right, yes.
A dance master, that's a lovely title. Would you tell us more about the National Folk Theatre and how old it is and something about yourselves?
Sure. It all began back in the 60s, in the late 60s. A group of people just started improvising with little things. There were some dancers, some singers, some musicians. Actually, their first meeting was they put a little piece together for a party, a 15-minute piece, and it went down so well. They just sung, they danced, and they played. It went down so well, they said, we must do this again. And they got together again, and they got together in people's houses. And I think then a TV researcher saw them and asked them would they do something for television, which they did, and it was received so well they decided to put a whole show together, and that's how it all began.
You know, it seems now to audiences as though these kinds of things, Irish songs, sung in Irish, classic Irish dance steps, were never endangered, but actually at one time they were. I mean, they were done a little bit in different parts of the country, but
yes,
they weren't really passed on.
No, yeah, again, that song we've just heard, Courtney, is an example that, like, patriotic songs were once forbidden in Ireland.
Tell us again the name.
Yeah, Courtney Guir was the name of the song, and it's a woman's name, Kate O'Dwyer. And so they would have used that as a symbol, a woman to represent the country, because they wouldn't have been able to sing the songs, the Gaelic songs, so our patriotic songs then. So they would have put in a woman's name instead of the country itself to sing about. Yes.
And what are some of these lyrics that you're actually singing in the song?
Towards the end of the song there, it says, one day we will rise up and we will be free again.
Now, though, of course, things are a much happier time and you're able to preserve a lot of this. And I was interested in something like the dance, how much of this is being passed down generation to generation. And in fact, a lot of you are related. Some of you have parents in this. Some of you have your children in this.
Yeah, it's a bit like that, because I think we have a good training structure in place within Sheemsatir itself. We actually have two training centres. So there's a continuous training process happening, and we train young people from the age of 6 and we train them for 3 years, and that's how we recruit our people for Sheemsatira, the company then. So there's a constant flow of people coming and going through Sheemsa.
Sheemsatira does a lot of authentic Irish myth and legend. Tell me about Lug and Balor.
Lug and Balor are ancient Celtic gods, and in our piece we portray a battle between both of them. And it's really good versus evil. Balor was Balor of the evil eye. He had one eye. And Lug was the god of lightness and brightness. And so they battle in this piece. And in the end, good wins over evil.
Oliver, did you design some of these dances that you do to interpret these myths?
Well, a lot of it is done through workshopping, because we get no script to start off with. It's quite difficult. So as a core company, we spend a lot of time improvising and workshopping material. It's a whole devising process that we have come up with. Sometimes we would get in some outside choreographers to help us embellish the Irish dance. We've always tried to do something with it, and not just to leave it in its state, just to try to use it as a form of movement, as a form of expression in telling stories. So we're constantly working with other choreographers as well.
It's almost like thinking about a ballet, that a ballet tells a story,
yes.
And so do these pieces.
Yeah, we try and bring our dance steps to tell stories as well by using the feet.
And there are steps, are there not, from different parts of the country that a dance master like yourself would recognise?
Yeah, it's instinctive, because in one particular area long ago, obviously they wouldn't have travelled around a lot, so styles have stayed within certain areas, and we have our own style in the North Kerry style of step dancing, and that owes its origin to a dancing master, Jeremiah Molyneux. So we've studied his style, because we would have met and known a lot of his dancers, his pupils. Some may be still alive, and we've put a lot of them on videotape. Some of them were quite old when we would have got to visit them and talk to them and learn their steps. So they would have sat on chairs. So we've got these on videos, and that's how we have kept this form of dance alive, because had we not got a lot of these things on video, they would have gone to the grave with these people. So we've managed to rescue all those steps.
I love that image of an elderly dance master sitting on a chair, moving just his feet. to impart this to you.
We have an actual piece in the show where we portray that. We have five images of five different positions of people sitting on chairs and using chairs to dance with, and we developed a piece out of that, actually. It's quite interesting.
Sean Ahearn, I understand that your brother is one of the founders of Sheem Satira.
Yes, he was the founder.
The founder, the sorry. Founder.
It was his brainchild who started it all off. He was in charge of a Gregorian choir in Tralee, and he developed little pieces, and he put them all together and brought the full show together. That's how it all started.
And like all good fathers, his progeny have really succeeded and gone out there in the world.
He was a father, but not a father
he's
of
a priest.
Children. He was a priest.
Well, we should hope not. Did you and your brother speak Irish as a family growing up?
Yes, we did. Not all the time, but some of the time.
It's a gorgeous language.
Yes, it is.
And I know it's been through a lot itself in terms of being political and not. What's the state of spoken Irish in Ireland today?
There are still parts of the country where, in pockets where it is spoken, in Galway, down in Kerry, and Waterford, up north, Donegal, Belfast. There are little pockets where it is still fluent and thriving.
So before we let you go, we'll very much be hoping that Sheem Satira will come back to the United States again and again, and that people will go to Tralee to see you. Maybe you'd ask the group in Irish for us, Sean, to sing another song.
Cad mar eolair oran ina Róisín Dubh.
Róisín Dubh, the name of the song.
Róisín na bheag bró nárt na cosaní Tada fadul on bapa son roi venir Tana braire teak ter salia Sied eik tril har mir Is ni Fian a spaniach Róisín Dubh. Beg an airge na tílte diárge sa'n spér na fwi. Beg all the sin a cog a crerach de grim magnac Beg och liaw schler fwyd eran is moyn te cri
Performing in our studio, 4A, the group Sheem Satira.